It is good to be gathered as Christ's body here in this place. I've got to say thank you to our workers yesterday, Zach and Chris and Chris, who got us our pavilion with full power back there. So ladies who work plugging in those roasters, good news, every single one of those plugs has its own breaker. So we will always have power in the pavilion from now on. Thanks be to God and the skills that he gives to our men of the church to make that possible. Also want to, what's that? That's right, it's time for a potluck. Thanks to Ron Sell, whose painting skills made our shed out there look a little brighter. And Ron, did you get any paint on yourself? Just a little bit on the face. But he did an excellent job yesterday, and it looks so much better, and it's not done yet. He's going to get some more of that done. And thanks to Brett, and thanks to Dave, and who was it, Jim, the other person who was here, who they poured concrete back here and for the shed back here, and it looks great. And it's beautiful. Thanks to Lee Concrete for providing that for us, too. And good things are happening here. And they're happening because the people of the church are doing them. And it's a joy to be part of this particular body of the United Methodist Church as we not only improve our grounds here, but we improve the neighborhood around us. That's really what we're called to do. We can make this place as pretty as we want it to be, but if we're not, then taking the love in here and giving it away to the people outside of this church, then we're not really being the church. We'd have a really nice building, really nice place to have a meeting, but it wouldn't be the church. The church takes the Holy Spirit, takes it out into the world, takes the gospel out into the world, and that's what we're called to do. Part of that is demonstrated right here. Our school supply drive. One way that we are reaching out to the community around us is by saying there are physical needs that you have in your community, and we can help as the church to meet those physical needs. No child should have to go to school and not have all the supplies, and we know that the government just doesn't provide it all anymore. So we can be a part of helping out our community by taking part in this. And next week, I believe, is the last week that we're collecting, and we're going to distribute because school is right around the corner. Oh, my little kindergartner. Think of the free time we'll have. One way that we can serve. Another way, we have our coat drive, which is always ongoing, and look for those times when you find a good deal on a coat and buy one or two. Bring it here to the church and put it in the, add it to our coat bank. We also have closets for campers going on, which also helps out our community, an area where if someone needs a shirt or a pants or shoes, all of those things, you can bring them to the church, put it in a bag, put it in the back there, and we'll make sure that that goes. But I believe today is the last day. Yeah. Oh, she got till Thursday. Why do I bring that up? All ways that we can look at the neighborhood around us, look at the community around us, and find ways to actively be involved in the work that needs to be done by the church, for the community. We get together and we talk, and we can talk a lot, but if that talk doesn't lead anywhere, then what did we do? We just talked about things. God invites us to be a part. And one of the most important ways that we can be a part of that is not only through the giving of the physical needs, but the spiritual needs as well. When somebody says, I need prayer, pray. Somebody says, I just need somebody to talk to them. Find ways to form relationship with the people in this community that God's placed in your lives. Don't know your neighbor? Get to know your neighbor. Don't know the neighbor down the street? Get to know them. Find out what's going on in their lives so that you might be able to find a way to then bring the gospel to them. The good news of Jesus Christ that will not only help with their physical needs here on earth, but for all eternity, as their spiritual needs. We don't do that to wedge our way in so that we can be sneaky about it. Just tell them, I love my church. I love the work that my church does in the community. No one can say, well, I don't believe in the church. When you say, I just love the work my church is doing to the community, how are they going to have an argument against that? How can they tell you, if you say, I just love my church, what, if you tell me, I love my church, what can I do about that? No, I don't love your church. You can't. Find ways so that the gospel is spread throughout this community. That's what it's about. We want to make sure that Jesus Christ is preached and proclaimed here in this place, and it'll transform this community, and it'll transform through our community out to the world around us. But there's so much trouble in the world, isn't there? Doesn't take long. Turn on the television, turn on the internet, turn on anything that will tell you about the outside world, and you'll find out that we're in a bad way in so many areas in our nation, in our community. The not just the problems that you see with things going on in Virginia, but just take a look around our own community with the epidemic of drugs that are in this community, the painful loss that comes when substances take over and just can ruin a family, ruin a life. You don't have to look far to see the suffering that takes place in the world. And as a church, we gather and we discuss, what can we do to be a part of the solution to that problem and not cause further pain by sitting back and just talking and not doing anything about it? And Jesus' disciples and Jesus would sit around and they'd talk about things going on in the world. And then Jesus would say, okay, now you go feed them. We have these 5,000 people gathered here. What are we going to do with them all? Jesus says, feed them. We only have two fishes and five loaves of bread. What are we going to do? Jesus says, feed them. Feed them. Take what you have and feed them. And when they did that, they found out that they ended up with more after they were done than they started with. It just overflowed, the amount of loaves and fishes that they gave away. It's the same. You will find that when you contribute to things that we have going on here, that you don't run out of gas. The Holy Spirit refills the tank. The Holy Spirit refills that checkbook. The Holy Spirit refills the shelves to keep bringing it in. It's so easy to get caught up in the suffering that takes place and feel overwhelmed by that, to feel like there's nothing that you can do because it just seems so big. It just seems so overwhelming. What are we going to do with when there's so many huge problems in the world? Well, good news, church. God is not calling you to solve the big problems in the world. He'll take care of that. But what he is calling us to do is to be involved in the community around us, to be involved in the lives around us, to be agents of peace where we are. And when we do that, that'll spread. And the world will be transformed. Jesus was talking to some of his disciples, and they said, there's this tower that fell and crushed some people. Maybe they were worse sinners than the other people. Or Jesus, there was a situation where some of our people were going to the temple to offer sacrifices. And while they were there, Herod's men killed them, and their blood was mingled with the blood of those sacrifices. What are we to do with that suffering that takes place? That's our gospel lesson this morning in the Gospel of Luke. In the 13th chapter, beginning with this first verse, I invite you to stand with me as we go to the gospel this morning. Listen. Listen for God speaking to you in these words. Now, there was some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too all will perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man, He said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Jesus is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. So those words have been weighing on my heart this week because I spend lots of time with the words before I speak to you. I want to bring God's word and only God's word, not the opinion of Jim Sands. Who cares? I want to bring the word of Jesus Christ to you, so that you can go into the community and say, "This is what Jesus is doing," and not, "This is what our pastor talked about today. What's Jesus up to?" And when I read a parable like that, that here was this vineyard and this one tree wasn't growing, I can't help but think of that, of myself personally, as that tree that God is looking for the fruit. And I'm hoping that God is finding that fruit and being pleased with what's going on in my life. And I know many of you want to think about, how am I living out the gospel that Jesus has given to me? How am I living out the life of a Christian that I was proclaimed at my baptism and my confirmation in the church? How am I doing that? And am I the kind of tree that Jesus, that God, as the gardener, is looking at and saying, "What a great, great tree I've got here"? Or am I the kind of tree that the gardener would say, "There's nothing going on here"? And if there's nothing going on there, how can I help, or how can I begin to produce the fruit? And the parable gives us the good news. It's not about us. It's about the work of that servant who says, "Give me another year, and I'll help to cultivate it and make it grow." So that's Jesus. Jesus is the one who says, "Give me some more time. Help me to, I want to help this tree to produce the kind of fruit that you're going to be pleased with next year at the harvest." Jesus is always interceding for us, pleading for us with the Father. He is our biggest cheerleader, encouraging us along the way. "I want to see that fruit take place in your life. I want to see you grow." And it's not only about us as individuals, but us as a church as well, this church in particular. God, do you know that Jesus is encouraging and pleading for this church to be the kind of church that produces the fruit that pleases the Father? How can we fail? How can we fail if we have Jesus Christ encouraging and nurturing that soil? And then I look at the wider church, the United Methodist Church, that again, there is one who wants to see the United Methodist Church produce the fruit that will change the world, that will please the Father, and the church as a whole. Roman Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, even Presbyterian. He wants to see the fruit that pleases the Father, because when it pleases the Father, how could we fail? But doesn't take long, does it? We look in the mirror and we know that man, I feel like there's more that I need to do. I feel like there's more that I want to accomplish so that I can glorify God with all of my life. Good news. Good news. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. When you have that desire to please God even more, that's a good thing. Take that to the Lord in prayer and watch what God will do with your life. It's amazing how God is encouraging and nurturing, wants to see good things take place in our lives. But there's so much suffering in the world, so much pain in the world, and sometimes that pain is because of our own actions. When you touch something that is harmful, that there's pain that's produced in that touching. God wants us to live lives that are pleasing to Him. There are things that we can do that break the heart of God. We call those things sin. And when we sin, we fall short of what God's expectations are, and we feel crushed, like we're not producing the fruit. That pain that we feel of conscience or a physical pain may just be God's way of saying there's correction that needs to take place. There's correction that needs to, that the path you're on is leading to destruction, not only of your physical being, but even of your spiritual being. And I don't want to see that happen to you. And so there's pain along the way that's meant to correct our course, so that we don't do the things that hurt us anymore. Not just in our own personal lives, but as a world. Why is the world filled with such pain? Well, because the world is fallen and sinful and broken. And what we need is a course correction. We need to change the course that we're on. A course that's leading further away from God, further away from salvation. We need to change that course. And so, of course, there's pain in the world. Because that pain is not meant to punish us. It's meant to remind us that we need to change the course we're on. We need to get off the path we're taking because it's leading us further and further away from God. But when we listen, when we heed the warning, we turn from our sin, who's the first one there to say, oh, look at the fruit that's being produced. Look what's going on in this life. It's Jesus. He's the first one that when things turn around, is just filled with joy that look what's going on in this life. Hey, Father, did you see what's going on in this life that's no longer being lived in sin and is turning toward you, Father? He's the first one to celebrate. Why is there suffering in the world? Why is there disease and pain and death? It's because we need a course correction. It's this natural world telling us to turn around and turn our hearts toward Jesus Christ. And when we do that, not only will our lives be transformed, but the world around us will be transformed. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be the way it is. It can be something better. It can be something that looks more and more like the heavenly kingdom and less like a fallen and sinful world. My heart breaks for the pain that is not only in the world around us, but I know many of you, the personal pain that you experience in your lives, not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally, financially, psychologically. There's a lot of pain that takes place right here. And I don't want this message to be one that you think, okay, well, the pain that I am in is the result of my own actions, and maybe God is punishing me for that. Don't take that that message away from this message today. There's a whole world. It goes all the way back to, oh, what nice fruit that looks like on that tree. There is a collective sin in the world that encompasses us all, that we believe as followers of Jesus Christ, he can wash away that sin that is inborn with us from the very beginning, that's washed away in the power of Jesus Christ and made new. But it still impacts even the church, even the most closest to God that you can think of kind of person. It still is in the world. I don't want you to go home thinking, man, I'm suffering because of the things that I've done. No. Part of your suffering is simply the case that you live in a fallen world. You live in a fallen and sinful world. But the good news is this, that Jesus Christ loves the world. And Jesus Christ loves you. And Jesus Christ has overcome the world. And so that even if the worst thing happens to us, a disease that takes our life, a tragic car accident, some random act of violence impacts us, even if the worst thing happens to us, we can have confidence that Jesus Christ has our life in the palm of his hands. And so that even if our earthly life is taken from us, our life is in Jesus Christ. And so the sufferings of this world are temporary. And they're pointing us to an even greater tomorrow when we see Jesus Christ face to face in heaven with him, where there's no more tears, no more sorrows, no more pain, no more sickness, and no more death. I look forward to that. I want to see that day, and I know I will through the grace of Jesus Christ. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.